This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 127 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, November 8th, 2013. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, and joining me this week is my lovely co-host, Sarah Gooding. Sarah, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing wonderful. We have a special guest on today, not so much to grill him with interview questions, but he's actually going to be helping us go through the headlines this week, and his name is Brad Williams, no stranger to this show.
Yes.
It's been a while, Brad. Thanks for coming back to the show.
Thanks. This is exciting. I don't think, what are we on, 127?
Yes.
Man, I've missed a few. I was going through the archives to try to see the last one I was on. I think it might have been episode 100 when I called in. I think I was with Jake.
It was 2010. You guys are at WordCamp Chicago, and you actually called into the show live. Yes. That's when I was on TalkShoe.com, and I don't know how that went. I think you were in the middle of a session. You were saying, yeah, this is good. I'd have to go back and listen to it, but that was pretty cool. That was a momentous occasion.
It's fun to be back, though. I'm glad the show's back. Got a lot of good memories. This is the first, I was on the first few shows, and this is the first real podcast that I was a part of, so.
Yeah, you and me go way back, like dinosaur times.
Like too far back. I'm surprised we're still friends, to be honest.
Oh, man. You know, I almost hate having you on the show because when you come on the show, I start saying things and doing things I shouldn't be doing. Kind of encourage bad behavior. But, you remember all the way back, 2008, I think you might have been on the first or second show with Ronald Eureka and a couple other people. That's when you were doing the battery, batteries.com, I think you were working for.
That's right, yeah. I wasn't even doing much WordPress. I had a blog. I really had no idea what I was talking about. Probably had no business being on a podcast. I don't think any of us did at the time, but
no.
It's pretty funny if you go back and listen to some of the early episodes, and then you see where we're at now, and it's like, who knew?
Yeah, a few years later, that would be all we're doing. $1 million business.
Yeah. So who knew that's what all we'd be doing is around WordPress when we were just having fun doing a show about it.
Lisa Saban Wilson says, Brad in the chat room says, Brad has that effect on everyone.
I just like to have fun. Is that a crime? I mean, there are people that run away from me at after parties. I don't know why, but I'm just trying to have a fun time.
By the way, thanks to everybody who's come out today for this Friday afternoon and who's in the chat room. Unfortunately, most of them are employed by Brad, so you're on here listening to their boss on the air.
You have to, if your boss is on a podcast, you have to listen or find the door.
Well, thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule, Brad, to talk about the headlines of the week. Let's start off with last week, after we had closed off the show back on November 4th. Sarah, you wrote a post. You were one of the first kind of on the beat to talk about some of the new features that have been selected to be merged into WordPress 3.8 core. And we were talking about this last week, and I said that if three or four of these features were to end up in WordPress 3.8, that it would be one hell of a release. And as you've noted in your post, it looks like it's going to go that direction with three or four features added to the core of WordPress 3.8. Can you just highlight what some of those features are?
I tuned into the meeting, and it was about 3 hours long, and my eyes were burning afterwards trying to write and read everyone's updates at the same time. But most of the features that we thought were going to be in there got the green light, so the new dashboard design will be in there. It looks like OmniSearch needs a little bit more work, so there's a meeting for that on Monday if anyone has opinions to throw in the mix for that. The theme experience is also going to be in there, and MP6 for sure will be making its way into 3.8. And then they spoke briefly about 2014, which I guess is not a lock for 3.8.
They had me making a sad face.
Well, they're going to hustle on it, see if they can get it in. But worst case scenario, it'll be pushed back to next year.
Yeah, I mean they have all of November. They started working on 2014. Shortly after WordCamp San Francisco, if I believe. So they've been working on this for a while. I know that 2014 is going to be the most feature-packed theme that they've released, default theme for WordPress, because it's going to have that magazine layout. It's going to have all kinds of feature content, some other additions in the theme. But I think it would be disappointing to a point if 2014 was not released with 3.8, which is slated to be released at the end of December, because as Matt said in his State of the Word, it'd be nice to have a default theme that you can actually use in the beginning of the year versus at the midpoint of the year, which we're used to seeing.
I think as long as they get it in 3.9, it's going to be a win. I mean, like you said, Jeff, 2013 came out like at the very end of...
Almost in 2014.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute, we're not even in 2014 yet.
Where are we? What year is it? I have no idea.
So 2013 came out... No, I think it was 2012 almost came out.
Yeah, 2012 came out at the end of 2012. I haven't even started drinking yet. What's going on? Maybe that's the problem. I'm not drinking. I should go grab a beer. Yeah, 2012 came out. So I kind of joke and call it 2012-ish, because it was like you get a month of it, and then all of a sudden it's 2013, and you're like already dated, you know? So honestly, if they get it out in 3.8, great, cool. But as long as it comes out like it, you know, early spring 2014, I think it's still a big win, because it's so different from anything they've ever released. You know, I'd be shocked if it ended up in 3.8. It's just so far out there and different that I think it's going to take a lot more work to make everybody happy.
Other than 2014, I think the next biggest exciting feature for 3.8 is probably MP6, because it modernizes the look of the dashboard. Today, without MP6, it's gray, it's blue, it's the layout that we've seen for at least one or two years now, and MP6 is bundled with a couple different color schemes. And Brad, have you had a chance to use MP6, and do you like the changes that it presents, or do you think they should be going in a different direction?
Yeah, I've been using it for a while. I really like it. So, it kind of goes back to this whole plugin approach. Plugin as features approach is a really cool idea, but in the same hand, it kind of sucks, because I've been using MP6 for a while, probably like all of us, the majority of us listening, on every site that I'm on, I install it. So I'm so used to it. When it is released in core, it's not going to be like, oh, yeah, this new feature. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, it's the same thing I've been using for, you know, however many months or a year now. So not to take anything away from it, I absolutely love it. I think it's a nice refresh on the admin side. It's just cleaner. I really like it overall.
Yeah, I think the theme experience additions to WordPress 3.8, I think that's going to help a lot of people who have a lot of different themes installed. For me, I won't be participating so much in the theme experience, because I'm not switching themes all the time. But
THX. It's like the release of acronyms, I swear. THX, MP6,
dash.
You know, Omni, dash. What's going on? Sounds like some Dolby Digital thing. I don't know.
Dolby Digital dash, THX. Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't change theme. I change my theme like on my blog maybe once every 3 years. I don't change that often. I don't even really use the theme preview stuff. I mean, obviously, I think we're certainly more power users, advanced users. So I think for the beginners, they'll probably love this more than anybody listening to this show.
Yeah, the one thing that I was disappointed in that I was very excited about, and I think a lot of other people were excited about, was the idea of revamping the content creation experience. So when you go to the post writing panel, things would be rearranged in such a way to where it would make the workflow better, merge some of the widgets, the publishing widgets, and some of the other, like the tags, and kind of integrate it into the actual post editor so that you don't have those sidebar widgets anymore. Everything's kind of integrated into writing the post. And I actually asked Mel Choice, one of the contributors behind the project, what's going on, and sadly, it looks like it's pushed back to WordPress 3.9. They're going to wait until 3.8 is released, and then they're going to revisit the idea. Maybe it's something that's going to come in WordPress 3.9, but I was pretty excited to see the ideas and the mock-ups to change the way that we can create posts, because we haven't seen any major changes like that in a long time.
That's a dangerous one too, because like the creating
you think
posts.
So?
That's well, it's the heart of doing anything around creating posts. I think is very you have to be very careful, because that is the heart of what WordPress is, right? Creating content. So any major changes around that area, I think, have to be really, really thought through. And like all changes in WordPress, they are very thought through. But I think anything around the post, whether it's directly related to the post or just new items that you see on the screens, I think you have to tread very lightly, because one wrong move and people hate making posts, or it breaks what they're used to, and they're gone. They're going to try something else, you know?
Yeah, and something that we'll talk about more in the show, because there's other stories that we're going to cover that relate back to this. But as you already mentioned, features as plugins first. So the content creation experience will be worked on as a plugin, and instead of getting WordPress 3.9 and boom, the post writing page has changed, and who knows, for the better or for the worse, instead of that sudden change, at least we'll be able to test out the plugin for a number of revisions, and they could work on that alongside core. So instead of this drastic change that maybe has no testing, could be a big failure, the developing as a plugin first should avoid all that. And by the time it's merged in the core, it should be at a point where it's merged right in and there's no problems. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, and if for some reason it doesn't, you know, it kind of gets voted not to merge it in, or for whatever reason it's you know, not going to be included, then there's still a really good plugin that you can use if you like that, you know. So there's no reason to, you know, if MP6 were never to get included in core, but you love it, you could still install the plugin, which is great. So it's not like this feature that's getting ripped out of trunk that you would have to go, you know, find the code and wrap it in a plugin and probably tweak it to get it to work. It's already there as a plugin, so you can use it whether it gets rolled in or not if you really, really like whatever that feature is.
Right. So speaking of future of WordPress, there was an article Sarah published about the future of WordPress widgets, talking about a better UI with real-time previews. And Sarah, what did you find out about how widgets are going to improve in WordPress?
This is something that is under consideration for 3.9. The widget refresh UI team has been working on it. The plugin's called the Widget Customizer. And basically, it takes your widget and puts it through the WordPress customizer so that you can get a live preview of the edits that you're making to the widget, which I think is really exciting, especially for people who aren't comfortable with HTML. I've had clients in the past who are just afraid to touch their widgets because they have a ton of text widgets and they have this and that in them, but when they don't know if they make a change, there's no revision history, there's no way to turn it back to the way it was before, so they just don't even bother going to their widgets page because they're too afraid to mess with them. So I think the customizer will help people get in there and start making more changes themselves without having to know a lot of code. So I like that.
Yeah, this is by Sean Andrews. He has that widgets area chooser plugin, which is on its way to core, and I'm taking a look at a screenshot. And I like this design where you have available widgets on the right, and then on the left you have your sidebar. And there's two different ways of adding widgets to a sidebar now. You can either click them and add them if you don't want to drag and drop, or you could do a drag and drop. But for, as we were talking in the pre-show, in fact, Brad, you had mentioned that you guys develop websites that have, you know, this is hard for me to believe because I've never seen it, but websites that have a lot of sidebars, and right now managing widgets between all those sidebars is not the most user-friendly.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. So, I mean, we've you know, built and managed sites that have hundreds of sidebars, if not more. So you can imagine if you need to add an archive widget to a sidebar that's, you know, 156 on the list, it's a terrible experience. You have to drag it and pull down and you know, as the whole page scrolls down and you're kind of wiggling your mouse to make it keep moving, and you go down the page and find the sidebar and then you drop it, and for whatever reason it doesn't stick and you have to do it all over again. So it's if you have one or two sidebars, drag and drop is perfectly fine. As soon as you get into having quite a few sidebars, it's very, very hard to manage. And it takes a very simple task of adding a widget to a sidebar and makes it a 10-minute ordeal. So, you know, I love what they're doing in widgets around 3.8. I think all of this stuff is great. Really, anything that they do to widgets is going to be better than what we have there now, right? So with the customizer integration, if that gets rolled in, with the, you know, being able to click to add to sidebars, if that gets rolled in, like all that stuff is going to, you know, just piece by piece is making that section better.
Now, the question I have, and it was also presented in the comments of this article, is why add the widget customizer, why add it to the customize area of the menu around themes? Why wouldn't it be better if people were actually in the widget screen managing widgets and they'd be able to see the live preview there instead of having to go to a different place to see a live preview of widgets?
I think in my opinion, and I think probably a lot of people who knows if they have the same opinion, but my opinion around the customizers, I think it's really underutilized by a lot of themes. They don't, you know, a lot of themes tap into kind of the core customizer capabilities, just the very basic of changing, you know, the colors of the background or adding an image header or whatever, background image, you know, just with the core kind of integration. But they don't take it really that much further. They don't kind of add their own customization into, you know, or settings or stuff into that customizer. Now, I'm sure there are some themes that do that, but as a whole, I think the majority of them don't do that. They're not taking advantage of that front-end customizer when you're configuring your site. So I really think that's going to start growing quite a bit, is where you start seeing more premium themes and just, you know, good-looking themes that integrate that more, so you can do more stuff like this, where you're actually really configuring the whole front of your website through that customizer, more so than you are configuring options in the back end of WordPress. That way you can see it in real time. You can see exactly what you're doing. It's not this flip back and forth type of thing, you know, and refresh and save and refresh and, you know, going between tabs. You're seeing it all in real time, and then you save when you're happy with it.
Yeah, I'm so used to seeing theme options. You know, you go to the theme menu or appearance menu, and there's usually another menu item called theme options, and that's where all kinds of different ways of editing the theme are displayed. And I'm starting to see more and more themes with no theme options menu, which throws me for a loop. But then I click on the customize button, the customizer, and that's where I start seeing options to control the header, control different colors, and I'm starting to see more and more themes get rid of the theme options page and kind of bundle all that into the customize
which I think is
good.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just kind of retraining what we're used to, right, and what users are used to. I mean, you're right. When I activate a theme, I immediately look for an options page. And when I activate a plugin, I look for an options page, you know, and some plugins don't have options pages and some themes don't. That usually actually freaks me out a little bit because I'm like, what do I do? How do I configure this thing? I activate it. What now? You know, so I think there's always a place to have some kind of an option screen, even if for nothing else to have information about the theme, where to get support, and to kind of point the user over and say, hey, if you want to customize this, go to the theme customizer. That's where everything happens. And start training users and people setting up the websites that's where that should happen. And it's just an easier experience because you can change stuff while you're and watch it. You're not
that's
options and then going to another tab and refreshing and realizing it's wrong. You know, it should make it much more efficient.
That's actually my favorite part of the customizer, is being able to change colors and change text, and it shows you like a live preview, and then if you click save, you know, what you see is what you get. I mean, I think that's very cool.
Yeah, and I certainly know there are some themes doing that too. Like you said, they're getting all their options out of the theme options, going to the customizer, but I don't think a lot of them are doing that, and I think this is a trend we're really going to start seeing pick up in the next year or so as more people kind of make that transition, more theme devs.
So Cart 66, which is a e-commerce solution, actually has been in beta testing with Pagely for a while now. And Sarah, you were able to publish the launch post talking about how Cart 66 has launched WordPress managed hosting with Pagely as their partner. And I think this is pretty important. You know, we had Corey Miller of iThemes on the show last week, and we mentioned iThemes Exchange, and I told him that, you know, when I think of e-commerce, I think of something that's big, that's complicated, that has a myriad of options and things to configure. And if you don't want to host it on your own site, the next best thing is managed e-commerce hosting, which it looks like Cart 66 is going to provide.
Yeah, I think it's a great product. I know a lot of people personally who would need it. Sometimes I have friends come to me and say, oh, I'd love it if you could set up a store for me, but they don't realize all that's involved there. I mean, you have to get your own, you know, your own domain, first of all, your hosting, and then, you know, you have to have an SSL certificate, which means that you've got to have a dedicated IP address, and they just have no grasp of it, but they know how to sell things, and they want a store. So I think that this kind of product is perfect for people like that. They might be comfortable using WordPress, but not setting up all the technical stuff that it requires in the background. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this.
Yeah, I saw that Lee, who is one of the developers and founders of Cart 66, mentioned in the comments here that they said that they felt like the WordPress community deserved a way to build e-commerce sites with WordPress without having to become experts on PCI compliance, SMTP servers, configuring Amazon S3, SSL certificates, everything you mentioned. Instead, they've now offered a solution where you set up your store and they'll take care of all the hard work for you, which I can't see how that couldn't be a success.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll probably do great with it, and I hope that there will be more people popping up to offer this as well, so that the competition will inspire them all to make a better product.
Yeah, and for those wondering, the self-hosted plugin, Cart 66 Pro, Lee mentioned in the comments that it's still available, and that all the links are on the bottom half of their homepage, but you can find information about it at cart66.com/pro. So it's still around. It's still available. You can still use the self-hosted version, but, of course, their hosted version is just to make everything convenient for you, so you don't have to go through all that technological stuff in order to get a site online. Well, you mentioned SSL certificates, and at one point I dealt with an e-commerce store, and nothing but headaches. I never want to go down that road again. It was such a pain.
Yeah, there's a lot behind it besides just the simple e-commerce plugin. I mean, and you look at all the e-commerce options right now with WordPress, they're all getting just, you know, more and more expensive because there are all these add-ons. You have to buy your payment gateway. A lot of times they have these giant, you know, $300, $500 bundles that you can buy. So really the cost of paying somebody monthly to handle all of that for you probably evens out in the end.
All right, so congratulations to Cart66, and I think they picked a great partner to launch that service with in Pagely. Our next story I want to mention, this is a pretty interesting story. It's by Chris Lima, and by this point just about everybody knows who Chris Lima is. He recently published a great article that, in my opinion, shines a light on the positive aspects of the WordPress community as a whole. And what Chris calls it is approachable WordPress. In a story on his website, he describes how easy it is to approach anyone in the WordPress community, regardless of their popularity. And I took this to heart, his post to heart, because I wanted to tell an interesting story that happened to me when I was first getting involved in the whole WordPress ecosystem. And this takes me back to 2008. I went to Dallas, Texas. It's one of the it's when WordCamps were really starting to gain ground. It was organized by Charles Strickland, of course. Longtime listeners of the show might remember him as the host of one of the original WordPress podcasts. Great man, and that was my first WordCamp I attended. The event was a huge milestone. It's where I met Mark Ghosh of WebLawToolsCollection.com, which at the time was the most popular website dedicated to WordPress. So in my mind, I kind of looked at Mark as kind of like a celebrity. So that was really cool, getting to meet him for the first time. But the other person in attendance at this event was Matt Mulawag, who is the co-creator of WordPress. And I remember he showed up to the event, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, here we go. We have this guy who is a co-creator of the most popular blogging software that exists online. He has this major following. He's a millionaire. He's successful. There's no way I'm going to have to go through bodyguards in order to go up to this man and talk to him. And it surprised the hell out of me that I was able to walk up to him. There wasn't a crowd of people around him. His sister was there. I got to meet her. I got to meet some of his other family members. He was approachable. I saw him during the entire event.
I remember when you ran up to him, and if I remember correctly, I think it went a little bit more like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you're Matt, oh, my God.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and I think you're
right. Although I wasn't at that event, but I'm pretty sure that's probably how it went.
No, that's not how it went. But I was excited. I managed to catch up with Matt, and every chance I could during that weekend, I talked to him because there's so many things to talk about at the time with between the themes and the GPL and all that other stuff. And I probably talked his head off, but it was so great meeting Matt in person, and I introduced myself to him, and he says, oh, yeah, I know who you are. I've been reading your site for a while. You're writing. I said, oh, okay. So he had already known who I was. But, you know, I placed Matt on a Hollywood-type, celebrity-type of person, thinking I'd have no way to be able to go up to this guy and talk to him. But from that point on, it left an impression on me that, you know, this guy, with his success, is that approachable and just wants to talk to everybody. I think in a way that the way he's projected himself that way, it's kind of spread throughout the WordPress community. And over the years at different WordCamps I've attended, I've been able to be part of that experience over and over again with these people that are very successful in the WordPress community, whether it be development companies or plugins that, you know, we used to call them WordPress rock stars or WordPress ninjas. And I can walk up to any of them, ask them questions, and they'll take time out of their schedule. They'll stop what they're doing, and they'll just talk to me and chat with me. They love sharing knowledge and talking to people. And Brad, I know you've been involved in the WordPress community for a long time. And in fact, you know, the more active you are in the community, maybe it's no fault of your own. I think some people out there maybe who use your work and who work with WebDev Studios might put you or some of the other members on that type of pedestal of like being a celebrity. But have you noticed the same type of ability to just walk up to anybody and just talk to whoever you want, regardless of how successful they are in the WordPress ecosystem?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, I think that's community. If you ever ask what someone's favorite thing about WordPress is, a lot of the times the answer is community. And that's usually one of my top answers as well, because it's true. Like, WordPress has an amazing community. And, you know, I don't know if that's specific to WordPress. I've been involved in some other open source projects, not at the extent as I have at WordPress. So, you know, my views are might be a little bit biased. But, yeah, I mean, when I first, you know, we talk about first starting, you know, WP Weekly back in 2008, I think it was. My first WordCamp was 2009. I didn't know anybody, and nobody knew me, you know. I knew some people. I knew people like Matt. I knew Jake with, you know, I knew names and like Alex King and, you know, the people that were out there. And so those people to me were kind of like what you mentioned with Matt. It was, it was kind of like when I saw them at a distance, I was like, man, I really want to talk to them, but I would get, you know, you get nervous. You're like, those are like, or sorry, you can bleep that later. you got to have at least one bleep on the show.
Great.
You know, you're just like, wow, those are the guys I've seen online that are like doing WordPress and they're so cool and they have all these plugins around these companies and I really want to talk to them. And yeah, so you eventually just walk up and start talking to them, or you start talking to them over a beer at an after party, and everyone's extremely approachable. And I, you know, I love talking to people, whether they know who I am or what I've done or not. Like, it's just a fun community to be a part of, and I love it. And I think, yeah, Chris's article is spot on, especially, you know, the part where he mentions the baddest podcasters in town being the Dradcast, of course. So there's definitely some fact there, but it's a great article and 100% truth.
And Sarah, you kind of had a experience like this when you went to a local WordPress meetup in your area, and Corey Miller of iThemes was in attendance. And just out of curiosity, did you look at Corey as maybe a celebrity? Hey, look, this is this guy that has this very successful company. I wonder if I'll be able to talk to him. I mean, I imagine he was very approachable.
Oh, yeah. I definitely thought he is one of the WordPress celebrities, but he is very approachable because he's an Oklahoman, so he's got that sort of southern charm. And
as I learned last week, Okie.
Yeah, he's a good old-fashioned Okie, and it was great to talk to him.
Corey's awesome.
Yeah, he gave a presentation for beginners, and it was so excellent. I mean, he had everybody just, you know, tuned in, and he was answering questions about WordPress that, you know, that every beginner would ask, and it was really a lot of fun.
It's so, like, I when I was starting out WebDev Studios, and, you know, we basically started on a coffee table, had no idea what we were doing, but I would take the opportunity when I'd go to events and approach people like Alex King or people that had kind of been where I was wanted, or were at where I wanted to be. You know, Alex King has a great company, Crowd Favorite, and they've been around for a while, and so I kind of looked up to them and some other companies. So anytime I had the chance to be around them, I would, you know, buy them a beer or whatever and just kind of get their ear for a minute and talk to them about business and how they're doing it and lessons learned and, you know, see what I could do to help grow my business. And now WebDev obviously is much bigger now. And so I have a lot of people that come up to me looking for the same advice. And I love telling people, you know, giving them advice and what, you know, the bad decisions that we've made, you know, and the hurdles that we've gone through and the good decisions that we've made and what's working for us and, you know, whatever I can do to help, because I understand like how critical that was for me. So I definitely want to go back. And I think that's just the mentality of the community, the mentality of open source. It's all about kind of helping each other for the greater good. You know, it's not about being competitors or, you know, being, you know, superstars and you're below me. It's all about just kind of helping each other out, which ultimately helps WordPress. And that's what we're all about, right?
Yeah, and we're talking about end user approaching developer for the most part. Like me, I'm a big fan of WordPress, use it all the time, and getting to meet, you know, Matt Mulloway, co-creator, I mean, that's a huge thing, from user to creator or user to developer. But when we talk about approachable WordPress, as you mentioned, it's also WebDev Studios approaching, let's say, Jake Goldman of 10Up or different e-commerce solutions or different plugin authors that maybe are in the same space. You could see them all sitting around a table just talking about their experiences, what they're doing, different ideas, and they're kind of all helping each other out, even though they have competitive businesses. It's a weird but cool thing to see in a WordPress community.
It is, and I think some other industries aren't as nice. I know the hosting industry is a little bit more cutthroat, you know, and I think that's just because of it's been around longer and it's always been a bit more competitive. Whereas, yeah, you have like 10UP and WebDev Studios and CrowdFavored and Modern Tribe and you know, all these great human-made, all these great companies. We actually all of us talk behind the scenes. We talk about what we're working on, or we might talk about clients and say, hey, if this person comes to your doorstep, watch out, you know, like, so there's definitely some conversations happening behind the scenes of all the people that run these companies. And there isn't this kind of cutthroat or talk crap about the other company. You know, it's really, you know, there's plenty of pie for everybody. So there's really no reason to be that way at all.
Yeah. With WordPress being open source and everything just being so open, and between Twitter and everybody just kind of knowing what everybody else is doing. I mean, I'm a realist. The community, the WordPress community, is great. It's filled with a lot of great, happy people. But I mean, this community is filled with human beings, and there are some human beings that are, you know, that we have words for them that I can't say on the air. I mean, every community has that, but the WordPress community, for the most part, is filled with happy, generous people with big hearts that are willing to take time out of their schedule at any point in the day and just help people. And I wonder if because of the openness of everything and people just kind of seem to know what's going on across the different companies, if that encourages people and companies to behave or be on their best behavior in the WordPress community. Because I think if anyone is talking crap about a competitor or is doing something that is possibly not right, it seems to me like in the community, it wouldn't take very long for people to start spreading the word that, hey, you know, there's a bad man over here. This company sucks.
Yeah, those people get flushed out pretty quickly, I think. And there are certainly bad, you know, bad eggs in the community. And I think we know who a lot of those people are. And they don't generally interact as much. They don't generally go to conferences. They don't really participate. So I don't, even though they might be, you know, quote unquote, in the community because their business is around WordPress or their products are selling around WordPress, I don't consider people like that community members. If you're not participating, and you're just not generally a good person, then, you know, you're not a part of the community that I'm in.
And before we move on to the next topic, Filer B says in the chat room, I remember meeting Brad, Dre, and Ryan from WP Candy at WordCamp Philly last year, which was his first WordCamp. He says, I'd interacted with them a bit via WP Late Night, but was shocked at how easy it was to talk to all three of them. So it's a pretty interesting experience.
Yeah, right? I mean,
it kind of sums it up in a nutshell.
That was a fun event. I mean, it's kind of like the idea behind what the Dradcast is and where we came up with the idea. We kind of, and WP Late Night, which is, you know, Dradcast was a bit of an extension from that, which is kind of the after party, you know, sit back, have some fun conversations around, you know, while you're having some drinks, and just a very laid back kind of chilled atmosphere. And so that's really just who we are. Like we're just kind of laid back people that like to talk about WordPress all the time. Like it's a bit like sick how much we like to talk about it, but you guys don't like it too because you're podcasting right about all day long, so you know my sickness. But we just enjoy talking about it, and anytime we could be around people that we meet, and what, you know, whether we know each other or not, whether they're new to the community or old or whatever, it really doesn't matter. When we're at an event and we're anywhere and we're having fun and chatting, it's a good time all around.
Yeah, so it's almost like we're all buddies, and that leads me into our next topic: BuddyPress 1.9 to retire default theme and add new notifications component. And this seems to be a bit of a bittersweet piece of news, especially because of the retirement of the default theme. Sarah, you wrote about this, and what's going on?
They're saying goodbye to the default theme, and I think everyone is for that. But it is kind of sad because it served a purpose for a while to demonstrate, you know, all of the BuddyPress components in action and kind of show what they should look like or what they could look like. And also in the forums, when you're helping people and they say, oh, I have this problem with this, sometimes you direct them to the default theme and ask, hey, does it work in the default theme? You know, if it does, then it's probably something wrong with your theme, you know. So it kind of helped as a diagnostic tool for a while. It's no longer something they want to keep putting in the download package, so it's going to be pulled out of there, and I don't know if anyone will support it after that, but I guess the core team's just going to focus on making the components awesome for everyone instead of, you know, having to support the dying default theme.
Yeah, and I say bittersweet because I remember when BuddyPress developed the default theme. I think John James Jacoby might have been the one developing it. And after it was completed and added to BuddyPress, people pointed to that theme and said, okay, here's how you develop a theme. This is a great example of what a great coded and documented theme looks like. And it was the example of what people should be basing their BuddyPress themes off of. And now it's kind of sad to see that disappear. But in large part, as you mentioned in the article, it's because that they have added code to where BuddyPress kind of looks great on almost just about any theme now because of the additions they've made to the core.
Yeah, I think it's time. I mean, you're right. There is a time and a place for that for the default theme. It's certainly dated, though. If you look at it now, it just looks very old. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, BuddyPress, when it came out, Kubrick was still the default WordPress theme. So,
oh, I mean, that's way back.
So you can imagine, like, you know, certainly try to tell people, oh yeah, just you know, here's how to use BuddyPress and Kubrick. That's not a really good example of
BuddyPress. Well, it's actually a totally different theme when it first came out, and I do actually like the older one that had the sidebar menu with the profile picture there. I thought that one was pretty cool.
I definitely hope they keep it going. It's nice to have kind of a theme that's, you know, fully supported by the core devs. As, you know, like you said, if you're going to build something custom, this is a good place to look for ideas. But you're right, now that BuddyPress is theme agnostic, it's definitely not nearly as critical. And chances are 99% of people using BuddyPress are not using that theme. They're grabbing some other theme and using it with that.
Right.
Now, Brad, I noticed on Twitter that you had mentioned some excitement over this notifications component. What about it excites you? I mean, do you have any plans for it, or what about it makes it so cool?
I just think it's something that makes sense to have kind of this notification component, this notification section within BuddyPress. That basically will just list out any notifications that you have, so it's kind of like a one spot for all that stuff. It's obviously very, you know, the version that goes into 1.9 is going to be pretty simplistic, but it's there and it's ready to be extended right through plugins and future versions. So, you know, I could see that. I think it would be neat to roll this into something that has almost like a growl, a little pop-up or something like that. So every time there's a notification, you know, it pops up in the header of your site, you know, stuff like that. So, like, people can really kind of extend this and make it cool. But it's just nice to see kind of a central core place for the stuff to happen. So, and I'm a contributor to BuddyPress 1.9, so my name will be in there. So I'm excited about that, too.
Yay!
All right. Hey, speaking of contributing, Sarah, you wrote a post a few days ago asking a simple question, should WordPress include a password generator? Speaking of the devil, we have Brad Williams on, who I guess around the time of, I don't know if it was 5 years ago, but you contributed on this ticket, and you had suggested that the cPanel password generator would be a good example of a UI of how WordPress might include this feature. So we already talked about how using the, I can't even pronounce it, the library from, I think it was Dropbox, it was added to WordPress 3.7, and it is a substantially enhanced password strength meter, where passwords that were created previous to 3.7 that were strong, you could use them in 3.7 and they'd likely not be as strong. They'd probably say they were weak. So now the question is, okay, so now that we have the strength meter, why don't we have a password generator involved? And just kind of going back in time and looking through that track ticket, Brad, is it time for WordPress to add a password generator since we have this nice cool strength meter, or is this not territory that WordPress should be stepping into?
I think it's time. I mean, honestly, anything around security that you can do to make, you know, accounts more secure is, I think, a good thing, and I think it should be something that's in core, because if you give people a one-click button to say generate a password and it spits out a, you know, a very strong password, obviously, if they built this in, it would always create a very strong password, right? Then it's more people are going to have strong passwords than they would have if they had to come up with their own. It's just, I mean, I think it's a fact. So I think if it's something that's that critical to security to have nice, clean, secure passwords, I think should absolutely go in core.
Now, Sarah, with LastPass, 1Password, I personally use RoboForm, which is just awesome. And there's other types of software out there that stores and creates difficult passwords you know, should we be adding this to the core of WordPress, or should we leave it to those pieces of software to handle that responsibility?
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence, but I think it would be cool to have a generator that works well with the strength meter so that you automatically get a really strong password. Mm-hmm. And I'd like it to be added to different areas as well, like if you want to change your password, not just for adding new users, which I think that's all that this plugin does. So it would be cool if you could extend it further and use it on the front end with BuddyPress and do some more things with it.
So it looks like Pippin Williamson, who is the creator of Easy Digital Downloads, he created the ticket and he proposed the inclusion of the Simple User Password Generator plugin, which was created by the folks at 10Up to accomplish the task. The plugin adds an option to encourage the user to change their password when logged into the admin, and it also has the option to send existing users the new auto-generated password. And based on development, it looks like this enhancement is on track to be included in WordPress 3.8. But as you mentioned, Sarah, it looks like it doesn't take into account editing passwords within the profile.php file. Why is that important?
Well, I think it's just as important as when you create a new user, especially because people like from time to time want to change their password just for security reasons or because they gave it to someone or, you know, for whatever reason. It'd be nice to be able to generate a strong password for yourself and not just for new users.
Yeah, I mean, the second comment on your post, from I always pick the people with the harder names. Miroslav? Slavic? Sorry, dude.
Miro.
He mentions, like, what's to stop someone from going and changing a password or something simple, right? So if you had that on the profile editor, then, you know, maybe there's some kind of way to force them to have to do, you know, use a generator or use a strong password. I think just getting something in there would be great. And then it could also be something that other applications could tap into, you know, all the login plugins like Gravity Forms with the user registration that could tap into that, you know. So it's I think it'd be nice to see it. I know there's plugins like the plugin you mentioned does this. There's also plugins that can expire passwords over a certain time, so maybe you force your users to reset their password once a month. I think that might be taking it a step too far, but you know, a simple password generator, I don't really think that needs to be plugin territory. I think that should be in core.
So with the password generator added to core, would the next step then be to force new users or new installs, force them to use a password that is considered strong, or does that become an annoyance?
I hope that they don't do that. I think the freedom should be there, especially when you're working in a development environment and you just want to have admin for your login.
Admin pass, that's exactly
right. Yeah, I don't think they should force it. Maybe have a way to force it, you know, through some kind of a setting or a filter of some sort. Not a setting, God forbid, but of a filter. But yeah, I don't think they should force it by default.
Yeah, that was something brought up in the comments where maybe they force strong passwords on users, but then have a way to turn that off. And it's like, well, I don't know. You add that, and then you add features to turn it off. It seems like, let's just not force them to begin with, and then we don't have to do all that extra work.
I mean, the majority of hacks that happen to WordPress sites right now are from passwords being exploited, and generally passwords being exploited from other sites. So I know I was at WordCamp Baltimore, and Nason was there, and he spoke up during one of the sessions and said that, you know, the from the LinkedIn hack, he still has bots hitting his WordPress site trying to use his LinkedIn credentials from that hack that happened. So basically, you know, they lifted the credentials from one site, and then they go out and hit all the other sites that you own using those same credentials. So it's, you know, a lot of everyone says WordPress is unsecure, but the majority of the hacks that are happening right now are people's passwords getting tampered or, you know, exploited. So it has nothing to do with WordPress. It's all about keeping secure and hard-to-guess passwords and unique passwords.
That's actually very interesting. I was reading the post not too long ago that detailed all the ways of, it was the, so it was along the lines of WP Lift had a post called The Dark Side of the WordPress Ecosystem where, and I think I saw another post, or they might have linked to it, where it talks about all the different ways that you can try and hack into WordPress. And they were using tools like Nmap, port scanners, different password guessers. And you started going down the list of all the different techniques that are being used to crack into a WordPress website. And basically, the moral of the story was that the basics, which means a very strong password and the basic security principles that you have outlined in numerous times throughout your presentations at various WordCamps you've given, and picking a host that cares about security. You know, if you just do those basics, most of that stuff shouldn't bother you. You shouldn't be worried about. I mean, I thought that was very interesting that the basics protect you from just about most of all that other stuff.
It's rule number one, don't be an idiot.
Is that like the first slide in your presentation?
My top 10 tips for security, don't be an idiot. It's rule number one. The password is not a good password.
Yeah, you can almost roll all 10 tips into one tip. Don't be an idiot.
Don't be an idiot. You're right, man. That's one of my tips. You know, you get what you pay for. If you're paying $2 a month or $2 a year for hosting, good luck. You know, like your site's probably going to go down. It's probably going to get hacked at some point. You know, some of it's kind of common sense.
Speaking of, you mentioned Gravity Forms earlier. They came out with a big announcement this week. They have released 1.8 Beta 1. And this is a big release for them because it has introduces an API, and it also introduces the add-on framework. There's a couple of features in this release, such as support for the Heartbeat API, meaning that if somebody is editing a form and you want to edit that form, you can request to take control over that form, similar to how post-locking works in WordPress. So that's pretty cool. There's integration with the trash component of WordPress, so now you can trash form entries and forms and things of that nature. They're going to introduce multi-file uploading. There's form scheduling, form sorting, and also WordPress multi-site, where Gravity Forms now supports being installed within the MU plugins folder on WordPress multi-site installations. But it seems like the most exciting news about this release is, of course, the API. And what that's going to allow is developers will be able to interact with specific Gravity Forms installs to add, update, delete, and return Gravity Forms data. And I also like that even though they're doing UI refinements, that they've stayed true to their roots of making Gravity Forms look and feel as if it was naturally a part of WordPress. I think that's been one of the reasons for its success from day one. In fact, I asked Carl Hancock, and I published this in the post, you know, how important has it been to mimic the look and feel of WordPress so it looks like it's just a native part of the software? And he says it's been very important, but not at the expense of what they are trying to accomplish. They try and use WordPress UI styling where they can, but where they can't, they try and make it look like it was. So big things on the horizon for Gravity Forms 1.8. And I know over on the Dragcast, they're one of your sponsors, but developer yourself on WebDev Studios who makes extensive use of Gravity Forms, what excites you about seeing the introduction of the complete API and the add-on framework?
Everything. I love APIs get me excited. I love a good API for breakfast. It's yummy. just being able to tap into. So a lot of what we do, a lot of custom stuff with Gravity Forms, a lot. And the majority of the time, if we're building something where it's, you know, content being submitted, user content, whatever it is, and we need to do some manipulation after the fact, maybe to modify those entries or to really do anything with it, we generally just set it up to copy right into a custom post type. Because trying to work with the data directly in Gravity Forms is very, very hard. It's all serialized. It's very hard to work with. This API is actually going to change that because now it's given us easy ways to pull out that data, you know, through the API to get all the entries or to add an entry or to update an entry. And that's the stuff that's really been lacking. Like, there's ways to do it, but it's not easy. It's a little bit hacky. So this API will probably change up a lot of the way that we work with Gravity Forms on the really custom side of things. So I'm really excited to see them introduce this. And I mean, I love Gravity Forms because there's not only a strong focus, like you said, on keeping it clean and looking and working like WordPress and for beginners to use, but it's also a strong focus on the developer side. You know, they have a lot of hooks and a ton of documentation. This API is just another example of them really looking out for the devs because they know a lot of devs use it. So I love seeing features like this in plugins.
Yeah, it says one example of opportunities that the new API functions open up, and this is Carl Hancock speaking. He says it will allow more power for third-party developers, and combined with the add-on framework, developers will be able to create add-ons and integration with Gravity Forms much easier than they could previously. He says there's already a lot of third-party add-ons in the wild for Gravity Forms, and these new developer features are going to be huge for their future growth. And then he concludes by saying they will also be huge for our future growth. And, for example, the web API could be used to allow something like, say, a mobile app to access and manage your Gravity Forms data, which would be very cool. He says, we're very excited about what both the add-on framework and the API means for the future of Gravity Forms, and they've only just begun. So as WebDev Studios, have you guys had the opportunity to create an add-on for Gravity Forms, or with these new additions, are you looking at possibly getting into that mix?
We have. It's all been, you know, internal for, well, you know, client-specific add-ons. So there's nothing, I don't think we've released anything. I know we're not selling anything. If we've released it, it's been on .org for free. But it usually, you know, if we need to extend or add some custom stuff in, we'll build an add-on, you know, for particular feature functionality that hooks something into Gravity Forms. So it's nice to have kind of an official framework. That always helps. Nice to have a good starting point and kind of, you know, a good framework to work on. We've, you know, I've talked with Carl in the past about doing add-ons, and he would just send us kind of, I'm assuming what this turned out to be, because they had an internal framework he would send us. So it is nice to have that, because more people can get into the game now much easier because they have a starting point and they can look at some examples and really kind of start extending Gravity Forms.
You know, I joked around with Carl when I was putting the story together. I sent him an email and I said, you know, Carl, Gravity Forms has been around for a number of years. And I said, way back then, you guys solved a problem for a lot of people. You solved the problem of being able to easily create a form, and you did it in such a way to where the UI was beautiful. It looked just like WordPress, and it just caught on, and it solved problems for a lot of people. And I said, now all these years later, I would never would have thought that with just a Contact Forms plugin that you guys would be able to stick around, be able to continue to innovate, make this huge business based on one plugin, and be able to create all these different add-ons and frameworks, and seeing so many people extend Gravity Forms to being something way beyond just a contact form. I told them, you know, congratulations. I says it's been incredible to see what people have been able to do with Gravity Forms, and it's incredible to see how you've been able to enhance it and, you know, provide all these features. I mean, it's a pretty cool story.
Gravity Forms is like the poster child for a premium plugin. I mean, it is without a doubt the most successful, and in my mind, probably the best ran, just with from start to finish, where they started, where they're at now, where they're going. It's not one of those deals where they just built it and said, here it is, and haven't kept building on it. Like you said, they just keep iterating and adding new features and new functionality. They're not just adding stuff to add stuff. Like, the stuff they're adding is legit and stuff that people want and need, so... I mean, they've done an amazing thing, and I remember back, I think you were at that WordCamp, Jeff, in Chicago in 2009, maybe, or 10,
they,
when Carl was going around.
Before the birthplace of Gravity Forms. Actually...
There's a lot of births that weekend.
I don't know. That sounds like it could be weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird. But Carl was there handing out business cards for Gravity Forms. They hadn't released it. I had never heard of it. And I remember thinking, this is a dumb idea. Like, there's already a lot of Contact Form.
Yeah,
plugins.
Contact Form 7.
I was like, who needs this? Contact Form 7 does it all, which is, looking back, I was like, man, I was naive. But, you know, they nailed it. They saw a problem. They fixed it. And they have made a thriving business around it and a thriving community around Gravity Forms. You know, when you have a product that has, there's very few products in the WordPress world that have communities around them, but Gravity Forms is definitely one of them. And when you can do that, then you know you've done something right.
Yeah, I remember that day as if it was yesterday. I remember we were at WordCamp Chicago. I think he had pinged me at the time because I was writing for Weblog Tools Collection, or I was a community guy, had some pull in the community. And I remember he put his MacBook in front of me, and the Rocket Genius guys were all behind me, and they said, take a look at this. And he started giving me a demo, and I immediately said, I says, man, you're onto something here. I said, this is going to be a big hit. I says, this is you're all in with this. And I remember seeing different times of the event that Mark Gosch was looking at him. He even showed it to Matt Mulawak, and they all gave him praise. But I had no idea that they'd be able to achieve the amount of success that they have today.
I mean, Rocket Genius was basically like a web dev studio. They did projects for clients, and Gravity Forms was so successful, this is all they do now. Rocket Genius, they haven't done that for a long time, you know, as far as like client work. So it's been so successful, Gravity Forms is what, you know, runs their entire company, which is amazing. I mean, I would love to have some kind of product like this under my belt.
Yeah, and Carl Hancock, he is always looking forward. He is never satisfied with their user base, with what they've accomplished. I mean, he takes great pride in what they have accomplished, but he's always looking ahead. I says, man, I know what the next big thing is that you're going to be doing. He says, no, it's not just one big thing. There's a series of big things. So, you know, he's got some things in the works there. Congratulations to him and Rocket Genius and everyone involved for making Gravity Forms as successful as it is. So that's going to do it for this week's headlines of the week, unless you and Sarah have anything else you want to mention before we get out of here. I'll take that as a no.
I don't have any other stories to talk about.
Okay, so Brad, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. Tell us where we can find you, and especially when we can listen to you.
Yes, so I do all sorts of stuff. Dradcast, the best podcast in the history of the internet, is every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
I'm going to bleep that out.
With my better half, Mr. Dre Armada. So unfortunately, the doctor couldn't make it to this show, but you got the rad, which is the better part, in my opinion. So every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we're live. We do video, which I kind of like not doing video now. I haven't not done video in a while, so I realized I didn't have to comb my hair or like actually put clothes on. It's nice. So yeah, Dradcast, 8 p.m. Follow me on Twitter, WilliamsBA.
Awesome. And check out what they're doing over there at WebDev Studios. These guys are, in fact, interesting fact with Brian, they're working on a project right now, writing a book about using WordPress to create applications. WordPress is an application framework, and yes. I think after he writes the book, everyone at WebDev Studios, all the employees, will have written or co-authored a book. Is that correct?
Not all the employees, all the partners of WebDev Studios.
The partners.
Lisa Saban Wilson has like a bazillion books, right? Everybody knows that. But now I have the professional WordPress series, and then Brian is working on web apps with WordPress with Jason Coleman, which should be out here in the next month or so. And around that, and I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to mention AppPresser, apppresser.com, which is a really, really cool thing we're putting together that is a kind of a framework for building native iOS and Android apps using WordPress.
I mean, is that, obviously they're writing a book about it, so I guess it's possible.
It's absolutely possible. So we've done it a few times for the different apps, like for the YMCA and for DMA, very specific client projects. In fact, if you saw the State of the Word from Matt this year, the little video of the Dallas Museum art that he showed, that's one of the applications we built. So it's absolutely possible. What we're trying to do is make a framework to make it easier for everyone to do that. So imagine think of it as building an app, but you're going to build your WordPress website, and then you can drop a short code on whatever page you want the camera to show up on. And then when you compile your app, it'll say click here to use the camera, and you can take a picture or pick from your library of images on your phone or your tablet, and then push it, and it will upload right into WordPress and attach it to the post or whatever. So you can kind of see that, there's obviously a very basic example, but it would allow you to customize that however you want, interact with that however you want, send that image wherever you want, tap into the scanner or the contact list or all the good native app functionality. So
yeah, one of the awesome plugins you guys do, which I have not had the opportunity to try yet, but I will. I'm telling you I will. I made a promise, is Badge OS. So you guys, is there anything new on the horizon coming from Badge OS?
Yeah, we actually just released, funny you ask, we actually just released version 1.3. couple days ago, and the big feature in version 1.3 is if you go to you just go to WordPress.org, this is a totally free plugin, WordPress.org, search Badge OS, 1.3 includes a badge builder built into it, which is powered by a service called Credly. If you look at the screenshots, you can see it, scroll down, it's pretty neat, so you can, if you don't have a badge, so Badge OS, just if you're not familiar, it's an achievement system for WordPress, so you can earn achievements, kind of it's a gamification of your website. Maybe a user posts 10 comments, they earn a badge. They log into your website, they earn a badge, things like that. So here you can actually build the badges within WordPress, right, directly through your dashboard. When you're creating these badges, you can build them. So there's a nice little badge builder built into it, which is really cool. So definitely check it out. I mean, the whole gamification stuff is really hot right now. It really gets interaction on websites. Hey, the Tavern could check it out because I think it'd be pretty neat. Maybe you get badges based on how many times you've commented. You hit 500 comments, you get the Rockstar Commenter badge or something like that. So it's super easy to configure. It's very, very flexible. So, yeah, take a look at it.
Boy, we went on to the show here. It's almost like the after party of the show.
Yeah, sorry. I have a lot of things to plug, but that's it.
A lot of questions to ask. So that's Brad Williams of WebDevStudios.com. Check him out. And if almost every Wednesday night at about 8 p.m. Eastern time, you can visit Dradcast.com and listen to him and Dre Armida talk about WordPress with a special co-host every time they do the show. Great show. I love how you two just kind of lay back and just lay it all out there. You guys just have a good time.
It's not a guest host. They're the host, and Dre and I are just there to screw it up. So,
well,
we have a different host each week, and we're just the noise in the background.
All right, thank you very much for coming on the show, talking about the headlines.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This is a lot of fun. I've always loved this show, so I'd love to come back anytime. Just let me know.
Yeah, thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
You've reminded me about how cool and how fun these roundtable shows can be, especially if we ever get like two or three more people involved. I think it'd be really cool.
Yes.
So that does it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffRO. And you can also follow Sarah on Twitter at
Polly Plummer, PollyPlummer.
And until next week, our special guest next week will be Brian Garner of StudioPress.com. That'll be a great show. So until next week, have a safe weekend, everybody.
Dread.